presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Last week, I talked to you guys about our first love. And some of you may remember I told you a few stories about my boring husband. I did tell the little story that in the moment of realization that I had feelings for Caleb, I went, oh no, but he's boring. And that's because he was a sci-fi computer, I'm not going to say nerd, we'll say dude, right? Yeah, is it? I don't even know what the proper lingo is at the moment. It all keeps changing, doesn't it? It turns out that he wasn't so boring after all. Or maybe being with me made him less boring. I don't know. It's good that we have a laugh and some fun together, isn't it? And so, like, I wanted to... It's been on my mind, and, you know, normally I wouldn't speak 2 weeks in a row, and every time I tried to get out of this morning, it was just that God said, no, like, I want you to go here. I want you to talk about this today. And so we're going to do a bit of a Bible study together. So if you have brought your Bible to church, which is a great place to bring it, or if you have your Bible app, if you've not been to our church before, we do play this game called Sword of the Lord. So the first person who finds the scripture gets to yell out Sword of the Lord. And I don't have a lolly jar today, so I'm sorry, there's no lollies. What we're going to go and look for in the Bible is Luke chapter 15. Oh, so quick. The verse that we were going to start with was from verse 11, and it's the parable of the lost son. And I was going to start here, but I'm not going to start here because I just want to start at verse 1. Because I think that it's just going to like lead up to like, this is how much God loves you. This is where we're going. I want you to catch this. This is how much God loves you. And for those of you who have been to church a lot of times and you've heard the story of the prodigal son and you're like, oh, okay, like this one again, I want you to take that thought out of your head and go, hey, Holy Spirit, what are you going to show me this morning? So if you can pull from that space. So let's read, first of all, the parable of the lost sheep. Now, I went to the kids' church before to try to find our sheep that we had, because we used to have a sheep that went with our lost sheep book, but I couldn't find it. And I was going to hide it, but then no kids came anyway. I don't know where it's gone. Okay, it's lost. It's lost. Yeah, it is lost. Okay, so let's read this. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. So this is Jesus. They're all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them a parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And then he goes on to tell the next parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And I think also we need to put this into perspective of people who maybe didn't have a lot of money. And when we don't have a lot of money, we are scrounging for coins, aren't we? And, you know, if she's lost a coin, she's going to look really hard for this coin. And in the same way, Jesus loves us. In the same way, Jesus He is always chasing us. He's always chasing you. He loves you. He loves you abundantly. So I know we're going to read lots of scripture today. Bit weird, hey, for church. But let's go on to read the parable of the lost son. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered to his father. He answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat, and so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found.'" When I was reflecting on this and asking God what he wanted me to share with you today about this and some of my thoughts, I was thinking about things from the three different perspectives of the father, the son, and the two sons. And so I wanted to, let's first start with that first, the son who wanted his money, he wanted to go out and do his own thing. And this is sometimes a lot of us, isn't it? We want to do things our own way, and we want to go out and we want to make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes have serious consequences to them as well. And I really felt that God wanted to say to you today that it does not matter what mistakes you have made or where you have been, that he loves you so intimately and deeply. I like to use the word passionately. That he loves you that much. So when we, we look at, if you can go back to those spaces where you have felt that pain and that shame of making those mistakes and feeling guilt and just wanting to go away and hide from the world because you've made such terrible mistakes. And it takes courage to go back to the Father, or courage, you know, like maybe there are people you have hurt or offended. That's going to take courage for you to go back to them and say, I'm sorry. And so I'd like just want to encourage you just to keep going back to the Father, that with no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, He is always going to be like the Father in this story. This is why Jesus tells us this parable, because He wants to show us the Father's heart. Father's heart is, he knows his son has gone off and done things, probably unquestionable things, especially in that society as well. But what did he do? He celebrated. And for them, we it's hard for us to understand the killing of the fattened goat and stuff, isn't it? And having these big celebrations. But, you know, this was probably a lot of wages worth of to do this kind of celebration. And he just loved him so much that he just wanted to throw a big party. And so when you come to the Father, he throws a big party for you. He just loves you, and he wants to be in your presence. We often come to church and we think about how we're coming to church to worship, to be in his presence. He wants to be in your presence, because that is how much he loves you. No matter what you've done through the week, no matter what you've listened to, no matter what you've watched, no matter where you've been, he wants to be with you. He wants to be with you during all of that stuff too, but sometimes that kind of gets in the way of our relationship with him, doesn't it? And so we kind of have this distance. He loves you so much that it doesn't matter what you've done, that you are his chosen child. Remember last week and previous weeks, the scripture I talk about often is that he knows how many hairs are on your head. Why it baffles me. Why would God want to know that? Oh, one fell out. You know, like, but I think that was his way of showing us and his way of telling us how he intimately cares for us and how he intimately cares for you. And maybe you've been someone who's been coming to church for a long time. Maybe you haven't been coming to church for a long time. It doesn't matter where you are at in your journey. He loves you. It doesn't matter how good you've been. You can be the most goody two-shoes person ever. He loves you no matter what. Even if you were so good and then you made a mistake, he's still going to love you the same. It doesn't change. Yeah? And I suppose that brings us to that last son, doesn't it? The one who stayed with his father, who did all the work. He probably would have been pretty miffed. Can you imagine? His brother's left. It means that he's probably got more of the workload. It doesn't really give us a time frame, but there's probably a significant amount of time that this brother was gone for. And the other brother had to pick up the slack. He did all the right things. He was being good. And then his brother comes home, and his father is now throwing him a party for squandering his money. And like, we get so caught up sometimes in what we've been doing and how good we've been, and we see other people maybe getting things that we don't have, or other things are successful for them, and why isn't it for us? And we kind of like go into a bit of a pity party. Well, I go into a pity party anyway. Did anybody else? And we're like, but God, why me? Why is this happening? Why? How come you're giving that stuff to that person? Because the Father loves each and every one of us the same. He loves us all passionately, deeply, and intimately. And He wants to be in your presence. What, I wonder what that's going to mean for you when I say that He wants to be in your presence. What is your initial gut reaction? I want you to think about that for a second. Is it like, oh, yay? Or like, oh, no. Oh, no, like, He doesn't know what I've done. Like, or, I'm like, He wouldn't want to be around me. I'm not good enough. You are. You are enough for Him. He created you. He wants to be in your presence. Because He loves you intimately and passionately. And so today is going to be short. I didn't feel as though we needed to go on for a really long time, and I haven't got some, you know, other great profound things about, you know, studying this, but just this simple message that He loves you. And maybe you've forgotten that, or maybe you've kind of pulled away from that a bit. And I felt like that was me probably over the last few months, kind of going through the motions, because that's what happens in life, isn't it? Like, we're all human. And so going, just sometimes I just felt like I was going through the motions, just doing what I had to do, working. But He's like, God is sitting there, Jesus is sitting there going, hey, like, I want to be with you. I want to be with you because I love you and I want to be in your presence. I just want to encourage you today that if you're a person who feels like you have been too bad, you've done too many wrong things, how could Jesus even like you? Because maybe I don't even like myself. I want to encourage you to open up your heart, just that, even just that tiny bit, just that small offering to Him, and just be like, okay, I'm going to give you a chance, Jesus. Because as you open up to Him, I promise you, there is so much more that He has for you. And it doesn't mean that all your problems go away. We all know that, don't we? We're a church who's gone through a lot of different things together. We've gone through a lot of grief together. We've gone through some really good times together. And so we know that we have Jesus with us in that, that there is hope in that, and that He wants you to accept forgiveness because He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. Now, don't switch off there, because you're at church and we say this all the time. I want you to grasp that. Holy Spirit, just come into that space there. He sent His Son Jesus, His Son Jesus, to die for you. To carry every single thing that you have done wrong, every single thing that you will ever do wrong, He took that to the cross so that you could be forgiven. And if you've been a person who has received forgiveness from somebody before, when you've hurt their feelings and they've said, oh, like, I forgive you, it's like a sense of relief. He's forgiven you. Can take that. Are you going to accept His forgiveness, or are you going to keep turning around and saying, oh no, I've been like, I've done this? No, like, are you going to keep reminding yourself that you're a bad person, or are you going to start living in the freedom that he's given you to live free from sin, to live free from your past mistakes. And I tell you now, Satan will want to remind you of those mistakes. He is going to come. It says in the Word of God, Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. If you are somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus, that's okay. So, for him, that's okay. He's not really going to try too hard. But if you are a Christian and you are someone who believes in God, he is going to try to make your life hell. Because you already belong to Jesus, so he's going to try to make that difficult. But guess what? You're supposed to say what? Thanks, Katie. Guess what? Jesus is so much more powerful and bigger than the enemy. Yeah? And he came that we might have life and have it to the full and have it abundantly. Yeah? So we don't have to worry about the enemy, but we do have to be aware that he's there trying to take that away from you. He's trying to steal your joy. We did pray this morning for joy to be in the house this morning. And so I pray that joy will come to you this morning as you're sitting here, because Jesus loves you, Jesus cares for you, Jesus came and gave his life and died for you to give you freedom. And so those chains can fall off of you. Let's pray together. Will you stand with me and pray? I like us to stand together. It feels like you're praying with me when we stand, and also you get to do a little stretch or a big stretch. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. Father, I thank you for the Word of God that gives us parables to show the Father's love for us. That Jesus, I pray that you'll bring us back to our first love, which is you. That, Lord, that we'll remember who you are for us. And that, Father, that we'll come and step into your presence and know that you want to be with us and that you love us and that you created us. So, you created us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you, Father, for your presence here this morning. And I thank you, Father, for your joy. If you want some joy, I'm just going to ask you to reach out your hand to him, whether it's just an open palm or whether you want to raise your hands up because you need lots and lots. So, Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit will bring joy into this place. That, Father, that we can bow down before you and we can bring every single problem before you. That, Father, that there is peace that surpasses all understanding. And we receive your joy this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.